Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Beloved brothers and sisters, and I believe and hope all of you can hear me. Thank you, Pastor Kim, for this. Thank you, Pastor Kim, and also Brother Bob for this opportunity to share with the saints and share the goodness of the good news and the goodness of the Lord. Hello there, Brother Paul, Sister Mary Lewis, Sister Daphne, Sister Jane, and Sister Teresa, Tasha, Birio, Brother Boom, I believe Sister Ramona, and most of the saints. I believe Brother Alan is also here. I don't know if he is. So each and every one of you, I mean, we love you, and personally, you know, we pray for each one of you, and greetings to you all from India. So good to be here tonight. It's about 12 o'clock here, 12:15 here at the moment, 12:30, nearly getting to 12:21. Yes, so God has been very faithful, and He's protected, and He's led me today to meet you all this way and to share of the wonderful things that the Lord has been. I've always wanted to fellowship. I've always was wanting to come and spend this time with all of you, but lots of turmoil has taken place out here in the ministry, and lots of separation. The Lord separated His remnant, and things have just literally changed since few years. That's one of the reasons I was not really there. Another thing was the timing of all this, in the sense the way the time works out. It's 12 o'clock, 12:30 here in India. I think the time there in the England, I believe it is at the moment 7:52 or 7:50 or something. But anyhow, God has been faithful. He brought me today with you to meet you all, and I'm very happy. And I also greet all the other saints that are there in the room. So nice to see you all. My recent trip, I just want, before I can share something from the Word, I just want to speak of the wonderful things that God has done. And as Pastor Kim was saying, that I would share about a trip to Orissa. Well, things have literally changed when the government changed in India. Things have literally become tight for Christians where we are located, and the surrounding areas have become more complicated and more tight for Christians, that we are not allowed to use microphones, we are not allowed to preach the gospel, we are not allowed to baptize people and things like that. And for a while, as part of the ministry here in India, we have been having a ministry in the other state. I live in the state of Andhra Pradesh, and we also have a ministry in another state called the Orissa. And in the state of Orissa, we have about a few pastors that are serving with us, few pastors and evangelists, about 20 of them that are with us together in the ministry. So in that area, it is very, very complicated to serve and minister and preach the gospel. Many people are being hurt and wounded, and many are literally pastors, some of the pastors being killed, and evangelists being raped, and lots of things happen in that area. And God has given us ministry among the tribal area, in the tribal part of that area in Orissa. And recently, by God's grace and mercy, though I have been going all alone for a while, this time I've taken a trip with along all the saints. I mean, about 50 of us taking down a truck and went there down to Orissa. And all of us stepped into the forest, and we stayed there for about 1 week's time. The pastor that invited me was one of the pastors that worked with us in the ministry. I went to his village first, and it's a very thick tribal area. And the way they invited us and the way they received us, the tribes, the native tribes in that area, it is so overwhelming, so wonderful. They are all not Christians. They don't believe in the Lord, but it was so overwhelming. The pastor's church only had 15 people there. And he arranged a small conference there. We went there, we all got together. Before going there, we prayed nearly for a long time. We have been praying, and I also thank the Full Gospel Assembly that has been praying for that. And the moment we stepped in there, we went into the forest area. The meeting started, the conference started. We were in tongues and spiritual warfare, all the saints that went with me. And we have to walk 20 kilometers onto the mountain, 20 kilometers, literally 20 kilometers onto the mountain, and then got to the place. After getting onto the place, the conference started, and that night I began to share God's word. And the whole of the village, it's 450 people, apart from the children in that village, the whole of the village came down to sit and to listen to what was being shared. And the first day went on, and we were just sleeping under the trees there in the forest, because it's just so thick, and they had small little huts, but it's very hot inside. So we were sleeping outside, and they were just telling us, you know, animals would come and attack, and so we have to be careful. So we, in the middle of the night again, from under the trees, we got into the huts and we slept for some time. And we spent most of our time there in prayer. And the next day, again, the conference started and it went on, and we began to preach. And as I began to preach the next day, the village nearby, which is about another 10 kilometers, people come walking into this conference for 10 to 15 kilometers. They come all the way walking just to see what is happening here. So from another village, another couple of hundred people came through, and they have joined for the conference there. And it's just like conference in the sense, it's not a conference hall, it's just a ground where they have a hay, they make a bamboo stick stand, and on the bamboo sticks they put lots of hay on it. They cover that, they cover the bottom of the ark maki with some saris. You know, women wear saris, and they cover them with that. And the second day meeting also, the Lord gave the word, and I just shared the word of God along with the saints. And at the end of the second day, they came out, a demon-possessed woman with a blood-curdling shrink right onto the pulpit there. And as we began to pray, proclaiming the name of Jesus, and literally the demon-possessed woman was literally healed, and she became free. She was being tormented, and she was literally free as we proclaimed the name of Jesus and began to pray. You wouldn't believe, the whole of village was astonished, because they said they have never seen such a thing happen since 33 years of their lives of being in that village, in that area. They have never seen such a thing happen. They have never seen such a thing really being manifested, the glory of God in that way. And literally this shocked the witch doctors which were there in the village. This brought a shock to the person that was really taking care of the whole of the village system. He is a very hard man. He doesn't like Christians. He literally got shocked, and he came into the meeting. On the third day, everybody in that village gave their lives to Jesus. Everybody. From door to door, all the 400 homes in the village gave their lives to Jesus. That is a village of idolatry. People worship idols. They don't believe in Jesus at all. When they see the manifestation of the power of God, everybody came forward and gave their lives to Jesus. And you know what? Now when they said they wanted Jesus, I just took a step back and I asked, do you believe in Jesus because you see this miracle happening here in this area? And they said, no, that's not it. we didn't know that there was a God called Jesus at all, and we are happy to see that, you know, there is some greater power than that, than what we exercise. Because in Hindus, what I normally, in the tribal areas, when these demonic people, what happens is, it's like when they worship a tree, or they worship, you know, lots of gods are there. You know, lots of god, tree a god, they make everything a god. They make a fish a god, they make a stone a god, they make even the hairs on their head a god, and everything. Even the grains of the field, they make it a god. That's what happens. And as they begin to worship them, worship the particular deity, so-called deity, what happens is their own deity, when they are demon-possessed, do not save them. They have to go to a witch doctor to get the demon out of their lives. But one thing they could see, when we proclaim the name of Jesus, that demon was casted out. The torment was casted out, and literally lots of sick people were healed in that place. And when I asked them this question, they literally said no. But I said, before you come into baptism, there is something called repentance. And repentance is not all about, you know, just, you know, we want to believe in Jesus because, you know, he's doing wonderful things, but we want to believe in Jesus because he's the only God. He's the only savior of our lives. He's the only creator of the whole universe. And you have to believe him as God, and you have to accept him as God. Above all, repentance is about the change in heart. It's to turn around, completely turn around, and say that, you know, I no longer want the world. I know that we are human beings, and we can't, you know, change our lives overnight, but he can change it. When Holy Spirit comes into our life, he can really change our lives. That's what I begin to share with them. Some of them, you know, they're waiting there, still willing to get baptized, and some of them were filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. About the witch doctor and the leader of the village got water baptized in Jesus' name. Literally 9 people got water baptized, accepted Jesus, and received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And even some of the saints have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but they're waiting to throw away all those and everything from their homes. So maybe our next trip is going to be a baptism for the 400 people. Hallelujah. So it was wonderful. The Lord gave the whole village into our hands. Saints, why I say this, I mean, what I say here is, I'm literally blessed to see what God has done. You know, because nobody reaches into those places. Nobody wants to literally risk their lives to go to places like that. But, you know, God has been faithful. You know, I believe it is God's grace that has led us there. It is God's protection that has protected us there and kept us there. And today we have a family of God that is there in that village. I know that, you know, we won't have good bedding and sleeping and stuff, but you know what I say? We have such lovely people with very good heart, still peace saints that have just accepted the Lord as Lord and Savior, and Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. And that gave me an immense joy. And one more thing about this is, this message spread around all the other villages. And what happened is, they said they have never heard what they have heard. The messages that they have heard, the teaching that they have heard, they have confessed that they have not heard such a thing before. And it really brought great edification. We have learned a lot of things, you know, because normally we go through a lot of turmoil in ministry, and sometimes, you know, I personally felt like many times, give up. Personally, I felt that. But you know what? The moment I saw them, I learned a lot. To live is to Christ. Even to die is to Christ. So it is very important to see, you know, their lifestyle is literally, literally horrible. But I'm very happy they have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. Please do pray for that village. It is called Kitalamba. The name of the village is called Kitalamba. Yeah, it's called Kitalamba. Keep that village in your prayer. And the name of the pastor there is called Reuben. And please do pray for Reuben and Kitalamba. and all the other pastors that are working with us there. And it is such a blessing to see that, you know what I say, they're coming there. It's our heartfelt desire in the Lord that the whole village is accepted Jesus, but it's very important that, you know, they walk with Him. It's very important that they live for Him. Their commitments, their love, and everything will continue, and the Lord will surely use them in a mighty way, and they all will walk according to the promises of God, and God will give them that grace. Hallelujah. And I'm very, very happy about that gave me a great joy. Thank you so much, all the saints in the Full Gospel Assembly, for your love and your faithful love gifts and support for the ministry here, for the children, and it's such a blessing. Thank you so much, and hallelujah. Thank you so much. So as I was praying today, Lord, I had a chance to talk to Brother Bob the other day. I want to tell this as well. You must all be blessed hearing to our dear Brother Bob, you know, such a wonderful teacher of the word. You know, the Lord has given him that, you know, a teacher teaches with revelation. And I see that, you know, clearly working with our dear Brother Bob, because the way the Lord is just manifesting his word, using him as a great tool of blessing for the edification of the body of Christ. Brother Bob has been teaching us on every Wednesdays in India, I mean through Skype, and many of us are being blessed, and he's teaching the leaders, I mean the team, the brotherhood of the ministry. So many of us are being blessed, and saints are learning and getting matured in the word, and I believe all of you are being blessed every week listening to Brother Bob teaching. And just want to say that, you know, he's a great blessing, great channel of great blessing. And I know that, you know, Brother Bob recently lost his mother, and we prayed for great condolences on, you know, prayed for great comfort from the ministry. And, you know, most of us, you know, lost our beloveds. You know, Pastor Kim lost our dear Audrey. You know, I used to call her grandmother. So such a lovely lady of the Lord. You know, we lost Sister Janet. You know, I really missed that lovely sister there, Alan and Jen. And we lost Sister Tina. And all these things, you know, sometimes I remember how lovely people were. Such a blessing to the Full Gospel Assembly. You know, God is always faithful. It's not about quantity, it's about quality. And see that working in Full Gospel Assembly, and such lovely people, you know, dear ones of the Lord. And thank you so much. As I was with the Lord, I mean, thank you, Bob, once again for giving me this opportunity. You know, he was telling me, you know, brother, you can take your full time. You know, I was like, you know, thank you, brother. Thank you once again for the great love, you know, that God has put in your heart to give me your time that you normally share with the saints. That's lovely. And as I was before the Lord, I just was meditating on His word, and this scripture that Moses spoke in the word of God came into my heart. Let's go to the book of Genesis. If you can turn your Bibles with me to the book of Genesis, I want you all to turn to, Exodus. Exodus, the book of Exodus. 33, Moses speaks, Exodus chapter 33 and verses 15, where Moses speaks, and he said unto him, if thy presence got not with me, carry us not up hence. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, as we meditate on this word, Father, strengthen us to understand. At the same time, Father, Lord, I'm an earthen vessel here. Father, all of our brothers and sisters have been listening to your word for a very, very long time. But strengthen us with your word, Father. Lord, as we meditate on your word, give us right knowledge of your word so that, Lord, we can walk according to your word in these last days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We can see here Moses was speaking to the Lord. He was telling, Lord, if you don't come with us, don't take us from this place. If your presence do not come with us, do not take us from this place. We very clearly understand what Moses has realized in his life. When Moses was in King's palace, there in the King's palace, Moses being a king's kid in the sense, being brought up as a king's kid there in the palace, in 41st palace there, he would have learned each and everything in related to the scripture that was required in the Egyptian Empire. I don't mean the biblical scripture, but generally all that is required for knowledge of the world, all that is required for him to be somebody that is required to be a king next. He would have learned everything. But God literally took him out from that place and he took him to Midian. And though his knowledge was great, though he had all that he required in the palace, though that he would have learned each and everything in the palace, we also need to realize at the same time, all that knowledge that he gained, everything that he received, has become zero before God. Again, God has to take him into Midian, where God trained him. God literally, you know, everything, all his knowledge from his childhood, what all he has learned from King's palace, has come to the level of zero. And God again spoke to him. God again trained him and broke him completely from that worldly kingship and gave him that eternal kingship there and sent him back. And we also know how powerfully he came out. A man who said, Lord, I'm only a person. You know, I'm only an ordinary man. I cannot really speak. You know, I have a stammering tongue. I cannot really talk to people. But God literally used this man with a stammering tongue and brought him back. And literally took him in the way he used him. And one of the most predominant things that Moses has realized in his life, which is required today, and where we see in lots of churches today, which is many of the men of God at the same time, the saints in many assemblies or many fellowships don't realize. So today, something that Moses has realized, this is what Moses is saying. Lord, if your presence do not come with us, let us not go from this place. If your presence do not come with us, let us not move from this place. That's what he said. Glory to God. My dear brothers and sisters, one thing we need to understand in this point is Moses realized what it means to have the presence of God in his life. Hallelujah. Some of the times where we have lots of things are being done by us, lots of places we go to, lots of things that we deal with, we do not really understand where we are and what sort of condition and what sort of situation we are in. The importance of the presence of God, the value of the presence of God. You know, I want you to turn your Bibles with me to the same book of Exodus, chapter 13. And if you read in the book of Exodus, chapter 13, we see the children of Israel. In the book of Exodus, chapter 13 and verses 21, we read very clearly the children of Israel. And the Lord went before them by the day in a pillar of cloud and led them on their way, and in the night by the pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. Glory to God. And the Lord went before them day by the day in a pillar of cloud to lead them on their way, and by night as a pillar of fire to give them light to go day and night. Look at this. The God was there with the children of Israel. He was a pillar of fire over them. He was a pillar of cloud over them. Without that presence of God, they wouldn't have been literally led. One thing the children of Israel did not acknowledge was God has been always with them. They started murmuring, they started doing things, they started doing whatnot, but the presence of God did not leave them, because God loved his people. Hallelujah. So it is very important to understand, if my ministry that I'm doing, if the worship that I'm doing, or if the prayer that I'm doing, if the fellowship that I'm really having, is God's presence really present there? It's not man's presence. It's not about feelings. It's not about emotions. It's not about how I feel and what I want to do. It's about God, the presence of God. Well, the Bible reminds us that, you know, in Hebrews 13 and verses 8, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changed. Hallelujah. I'm reminded of Paul's beautiful scripture when Paul tells us that, you know, if you read in the New Covenant, we very clearly understand. Paul speaks to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 31. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 31, Paul says, whether therefore we eat or we drink, whatever we do it all the glory of God. So we need to understand every single thing in our lives, every single thing that we do to understand the presence of God needs to follow us. Paul tells in 2 Corinthians, if you read chapter 5, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if we clearly read, Paul tells us in chapter 5 and verses 6, Paul says, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whether we are at home in this body or, you know, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Glory to God. It is very much important to understand the value of God's presence. See, brothers and sisters, living in this body, living in this flesh, we need to understand, because we know man by his nature is not a very right person, because his Adamic nature, which is in man's life, is remaining in this body. The nature of human nature, which has been there, the tree of knowledge and good. There was also a tree of life in the Garden of Eden, but he didn't want that. He chose to have this. He chose to have more of bad. You know, that's why we call mind as a battleground. That's why we call this mind as a battleground. We always battle with our battle in our thoughts. That's why Paul says in Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7, do not worry about anything, but in everything prayer and supplication, let all your supplications be known unto the Lord. May the peace of God guard your mind and protect you. That's what the word of God says. And also Paul tells us very clearly in Romans chapter 12, brethren, submit yourself. I beseech thee, brethren, to submit yourself as a living sacrifice, that your hearts may be, your minds and hearts may be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because this is where the battle is really going on. Sometimes emotions tell you that the presence of God is with you, but the truth is you're not feeling the presence of God, but you're feeling your own presence. You know, how many of you remember or not, I don't know, but many of the people today, if they want to cry in the presence of God, they always have to look to the cross and cry. In the sense, only if they remember that, you know, Jesus is being wounded and stuff like that, they cry. But I tell you the truth, if a person is filled with the Holy Spirit, the tears of joy will come into their eyes. When they're filled with the Holy Spirit, they can automatically pour out their heart, pour out everything before God. There is no need of remembering any emotional situation in a movie to cry before the Lord. There's no need to remember something that's happened in your life to cry before the Lord. All these emotions work out to make you feel that you're in the presence of God. No way. No way. When you can look at a TV, look at a television, when you can look at a movie and feel that, you know, that movie is so emotional and you can sit and cry before a TV channel, why not when you are filled with the presence of God, when God has broken you completely, when you are helpless, when you surrendered everything, when the Holy Spirit has filled your life, why not you just open your heart and cry before the Lord? It is very important to understand that we feel the presence of God in our lives. And Moses realized it. And that's what Paul is saying, to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. Jesus made sure he let us know what it means to be with him. Jesus made sure he let us know, let not your hearts be troubled. That's what he said in John chapter 14, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in the Father, believe also in me. I'm preparing a place for you so that one day you will always be with me. Wow, what a great joy it is to be with the Lord. I still remember the drought, the spiritual drought that was going on in the life of Psalmist. In the book of Psalms, we read very clearly, brothers and sisters, I want you to read some of the Psalms, beautiful Psalms, you know, the Psalms of David and Psalms of the others in the book of Psalms, sons of Korah. They have just written some Psalms, and we clearly see beautiful Psalms that were written, their situation in life. They have understood what their spiritual drought really is all about, when the presence of God was not there with them. Go with me to Psalm 85. Psalms 85. And the Bible tells us in Psalm 85, if you read from verses 4 to 7, this is what the Word of God says. Psalm 85, 4 to 7. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger towards us to cease. Will thou anger be with us forever? Will thou draw out thine anger to all the generations? Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Sue thy mercy, O God, and grant us thy salvation. Glory to God. Look at the drought that he's feeling about the presence of God. Lord, we need you. Father, we need you. Lord, I need to feel your presence. Look at what Jacob said. Unless and until you bless me, I'm not going to leave this place and go away. Unless and until you're going to touch me, I'm not going to leave this place and go away. I want to feel that the presence of God is always with me. It is important to make sure, saints, because there are false spirits working in this world. The false feelings of mankind that is working in this world. It is very much important to come into a place you tell confirmly, just as Moses said, Lord, if your presence do not come with us, we will not leave this place and go ahead. If you read Psalm 84, look at what the psalmist says in Psalm 84. In Psalm 84, 10 and 11, this is what the word of God says. For a day in the courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is the sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will withhold from them that walk uprightly. Glory to God. Hallelujah. For the day in the courts of the Lord is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. Hallelujah. Than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Than to dwell with false feeling. Than to dwell with things that are not really true. Father, we are living. See, brothers and sisters, we are living in the last days. I mean this. People might say, where is the promise that has gone? The promise that is being given to your forefathers. Where is the promise that has gone? Lots of people are dying and being buried. Jesus has not yet come. That's what they would say. But remember this. When you understand the presence of God, you will be receptive to the coming of the Master. Hallelujah. You will be receptive to the coming of the Master. You will be very, very receptive to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can tell you this for confirmed. See, look at the way the churches are going back. Look at the way the churches are going back to the dark ages. Look at the way God is raising up remnant everywhere. Look at the people, at some of the remnant that are craving for God's word and the presence of God in these last days. Hallelujah. There is a spiritual drought in many people's lives. And this is what we see the psalmist is saying, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Look at Psalm 13, 1-3. And we see in Psalm 13, very clearly again, the psalmist says there, how long will you forget me, O Lord? Forever. How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in, how long shall I take counsel in my soul? Having sorrow in my heart daily, how long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider me, consider and hear me, O God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he had dealt bountifully with me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Look at the spiritual drought in that person's life. Lord, I need your presence. Father, I need your presence. In Psalm 63, go with me to Psalm 63. Look at what the word of God says. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek you. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Where there is no water. To see thy power, to see thy glory, so I have seen thee in thy sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee, thus I will bless thee while I am alive. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied with thy marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise with the joy of my lips. Glory to God. Craving for God's presence. Understanding that without the presence of God, you're helpless. Without the presence of God following your life, you're helpless. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The psalmist says in Psalm 42, as the deer pants for the waters of my soul, waters of your Lord, my soul panteth for you. That's what he says. As the deer pants for the brooks, so my soul pants for thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God, when I come and appear before God. My tears have been my meat all day and night. There's so many people continually crying on their beds. Lord, where have you gone? Where are you? I need you. Look at the psalmist was literally down and depressed. Sons of Korah, they're writing this psalm. They're saying, Lord, we need you. As a deer pants for the brook, so I pant for you. So brothers and sisters, it is very important in the presence of God to understand what Moses really meant by what he was saying there. Without the presence of God, we can never ever do anything. Glory to God. What was the reason behind what Moses was saying? We need to clearly understand that if there is presence of God, there is peace. Number the Bible, the presence of God with us will give us rest and will give us peace. The presence of God with us will give us rest from all the turmoil and confusion. He will go before us and bring rest and peace in our lives. The presence of God gives us great peace and joy in our lives. Jesus promised us peace which the world cannot give. The divine peace does not depend on the outward circumstances. When we are inside an air-conditioned room, we can be cool enough, though it's outside, hot outside. In the same way, when we are in the presence of God, the inward peace and the joy does not have to do anything with the external circumstances, does not have to do anything with what is happening in the world. Today, people say that they are in the presence of God, but they do not have peace of mind. They do not have the joy of His presence. They're with the Lord. They say that they are in the presence of God. They say that, you know, God is with us and amen and hallelujah. But where is the presence of God? Where is the peace that passeth all understanding? Where is it all gone? This is what the word reminds us in Exodus chapter 33 verses 14 to 17. In Exodus 33 and 14 to 17, this is what the word says. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Hallelujah. So when there is the presence of God, there is peace and rest in our lives. And Moses said unto him, if your presence do not come with us, if your presence do not come with us, do not send us from this place. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me? How will anyone know you're pleased with me, Lord, with your people, unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of this earth? Only you are with me, people will understand that, you know, my God is pleased with me. Glory to God. Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verses 27, I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives you. Do not let not your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. A very predominant thing that is required today. See, as we grow in the Lord, sometimes we forget the basic principles of His word. In the old covenant, Moses needed it. What did Joshua say after Moses came up? Joshua, we know what Joshua said. We know what happened to Joshua. If you look at very clearly, the way Joshua was encouraged, if you read in the book of Joshua chapter 1 and verses 9, look at how Joshua was literally encouraged. Have not I commanded thee, be strong of good courage, do not be afraid, neither thou be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou go. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Joshua needed the presence of God to lead God's people. Every man and woman of God need God's presence to lead God's people. To walk in the presence of God is important. That is when the peace of God that passeth all understanding will follow you. You're not able to rest in the peace of God. The reason is because you do not really have the presence of God following in your life. If you read the book of Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verses 8. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verses 8, what does the scripture say? Here we read, and the Lord, He is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, do not be dismayed, he says to Israel. Moses went to the children of Israel and spoke these words. The Lord is with thee. He will never forsake thee. So just rest. Hallelujah. Isn't it? It is very hard to learn biblical principles sometimes, but at the end of the day, you know, it is God that works that perfect peace in our lives. Glory to God. I've been learning personally a lot of things from the Lord to rest in that great peace that passeth all understanding. And the presence of God is with us. Moses wanted it. It is because it gives peace and rest. And you also need to understand, where the presence of God is, there is protection. The presence of God with us will give us protection when we pass through fire and water. We need not fear the storms and floods and fiery experiences we go through, because God will be with us and protect us. Glory to God. The presence of God is a great wall of protection around each and every one of us. And this is the secret of our survival as Christians. Even in the midst of great attacks, dangerous experiences that we go through in life, when God is with us, we have a supernatural protection in our lives. He is our shade and He will surely cover us each and every time. Even everyone that forsakes us, the Lord will always protect us. The Lord will always be there with us. The Bible reminds us these beautiful scriptures. In Isaiah 43 verses 1 and 2, if we read it, this is what the Lord speaks to Jacob. But now this is what the Lord says. He created you, O Jacob. He has formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I am with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep. You will not be swept away, because the Lord is with you. Because they will not sweep over you, because the Lord is with you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burnt. The flames will not blaze you away. What a great promise that is, brothers and sisters. What a great promise that is. When the presence of God is with us, there is protection. Glory to God. It's hard. We learn things after a long, long time, aren't we? Sometimes when we hear the word of God, it is sometimes very hard for us to receive. But the truth of the matter is, as we pass by, we understand the great presence of God. Moses was seeking the presence because he knows only when the presence is there, there is peace and rest. Moses understood, number two, only when the presence is there, there is protection in his life. The Bible tells us very clearly, brothers and sisters, in John 16 and verses 32. In John 16 and verses 32, he says, but a time is coming and has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. For my Father is with me. I am not alone. He that has called me is with me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What a great joy that is. Jesus did say this before. He said, everybody will be scattered and they will leave me. Every man will go to his own home and everybody will leave me. Yet I'm not alone, because my Father is with me. What a great thing to keep the promise of God. Though men of the world might let you down, but Jesus never fails. If you read in Matthew 26, 55 onwards, in Matthew 26 and from 55 onwards, at that time, Jesus said to the crowd, Am I leading a rebellion that you have to come out with the swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. You did not take me, but this all has taken place so that the writings of the prophets must be fulfilled. And the disciples from that place left and fled. That's what the word says. His own disciples in Matthew 26 verses 55, you see, his own disciples left him so that the word might be fulfilled. The Lord spoke to Joshua in Joshua 1 and 5. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so shall I also be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you, because I'm a God who protects you. Glory God. Brothers and sisters, why we need the presence of God is because that is the only way we can be protected. That's why Moses said, Lord, if your presence do not come with us, we do not want to go. Are we truly in the presence of God in our personal life, in our church life, in every single thing that we do for the glory of God, in our families? It is very important. It is very important. It is high time that if we don't, we need to come and really repent and repair ourselves before the Lord, so that we can just come to back to our basics and come back to the Lord and say, Father, I thought I've learned a lot from your word. But what profiteth if a man gaineth the whole world and loseth his life? Without your presence, my life is a breathless life. Without your presence, Lord, no matter how much I know about your word, Father, without you and your presence, Father, there is nothing that I can do in my life. I'm helpless. I'm a skeleton, Father. I need you to get me that body that I can just move. We all need it, brothers and sisters. We all need it. Church has been functioning without his presence, with man-made ideas, man-made thoughts, man-made views. The glory of the end-time church is going to be more glorious than the early church. And that promise has to come to pass through our lives, because the tabernacle of God is among his people. And God is with us. He is dwelling with us. He is living with us. And he wants to live with us, and he wants to literally show to the world that he is with us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Brothers and sisters, number three, the presence of God gives us promises. The presence of God gives us promises. Why did Moses say that he needed the presence of God and he didn't want it to go? It is because he knew the promises of God. Without God coming with them, you will not see the accomplishment of God's promises in their lives. Many people say, I've received this promise from God, that promise from God. If you want the promise of God to be accomplished in your life, you want to see the promise happening over your life, you need God with you. You need his presence with you. How can a covenant, God doesn't change over his promises, but we should be at his disposal, should be worthy to see what he can do with his promises in our lives. We need his presence to accomplish what the Lord has just literally given us. The presence of God gives us great, great promises, because, you know, we see very clearly he is with us. We need not fear anything. When we realize that the Almighty God is with us, all our fears vanish, because he is stronger than any force that can harm us. Because the presence of God gives us strength that we need. He will help us, strengthen us, uphold us. We need not fear that we lack strength and ability, because God will help us through, because he has promised us. It is a promise that follows when the presence of God is with us. In Isaiah 41, if we read from verses 10 to 13, this is what the word says in Isaiah 41, 10 to 13. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. Look at those promises. Do not fear, I am with you. Do not be dismayed, I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. I will be, look at this, with my right hand of righteousness, I will uphold you. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be nothing and will perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against, will be nothing at all. For I am your Lord, your God, who takes hold of your right hand, says the Lord. Do not fear, for I will help you. Glory to God. So brothers and sisters, it is very much important to understand when the presence of God is with us, we experience the promises of God. If you need the promise of God to see through in your life, you need the presence of God. Father, every promise in your word will come when your presence is with me. You have given me so many promises. Look at this scripture, beautiful. He says, do not fear. I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I'll uphold you with the right hand of righteousness. All who wage war against you will be ashamed. All those who oppose you will be nothing and will perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all. For I am your Lord, your God, who takes you by the right hand, says the Lord. Look at the beautiful promises of His word. What a great promise we have in the presence of God. Each and every scripture is a promise of God to our lives. And we need to acknowledge the beautiful promises of God. And we need to receive them with all our hearts. Father, I need your presence. Because the Lord has promised the children of Israel. 400 years ago, He's given a promise to Moses saying, lo, Moses, go to Pharaoh and ask him, let my people go. And you know what? He stood before the children of Israel, told them, you know, the Lord promised to take us to the promised land. He has given us a promised land, and the Lord said He has promised that He would take us all there. They believed in Moses' words. They believed take them to the promised land. And now here is Moses telling, Lord, if your presence do not come with us, I do not want to go, because you have already promised us that you will take us to the promised land. Only if you are with us, we can claim your promises. Only if you are with us, we can claim these promises over our lives. We know it is a free gift from you, Lord. We know it is our inheritance. But when we claim it, we need to make sure that you are in our lives. Your presence is in our lives. Glory to God. We all read the scripture. The days of the Son of Man will be the days of like Noah. How people perished. See, not all entered the ark. In the same way, we need to understand, brothers and sisters, God is merciful and faithful. At the end of the day, we need to understand there's a great day of judgment that's waiting. And everything will be brought into light. So it is very much important that the presence of God follows us. And we are in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Number four, we read in the scripture in Jeremiah about the presence of God. Another beautiful scripture. It says in Jeremiah 20, verses 10 to 11, I hear my whispering, terror on every side. Report him. Let's report him. All my friends are waiting for me to slip, saying, perhaps he will be deceived. Then we will prevail over him and take revenge over him. But the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. So my persecutors will stumble and will not prevail. They will fail and be thoroughly disgraced. There is dishonor will never be forgotten. Look at this. Brothers and sisters, when the presence of God is with us, He destroys all the plans of the enemy and gives us deliverance. Glory to God. He destroys. He makes the enemy to be confused. The enemy thinks that he has defeated us. Look at this beautiful scripture. When the presence of God is with you and with me today, brothers and sisters, they will think, you know, I hear them whispering terror on every side. Report him. Let's report him. All my friends are waiting to see if I slip and fall down. Perhaps he will be deceived. Then we will prevail over him. People are waiting so that your downfall will make them prevail and they will become happy about your downfall. But God will not let that happen. But the Lord is with you like a mighty warrior, so that all your persecutors will stumble and will not prevail, and they will fail and be thoroughly disgraced. And the word of God says their dishonor will never be forgotten. Glory to God. What a great promise that is in the presence of God. When the presence of God is with us, he will destroy all the plans of the enemy and give us deliverance. We may feel that our enemy is too strong to be shrewd for us, too strong or too shrewd for us. But the Lord is with us as a mighty warrior and destroy all the plans of the enemy. We may feel that we are trapped in a situation with no way out in our lives. We may face many snares and hidden dangers in our lives. But the presence of God is with us, will bring us deliverance in our lives. Hallelujah. Even humanly impossible circumstances, God can make it possible. We know about the life of Job. What happened to his life? In the book of Job, we read that in chapter 5 and verses 12 onwards. If you read, Job says in Job 5:12, he thwarts the plans of the crafty so that their hands achieve no success. He catches the wise in their craftiness. Look at this. He catches the wise in their craftiness, and the schemes of the wily are swept away. Darkness comes upon them in the daytime, and in the noon they grope as in the night. He saves the needy from the sword of their mouth. He saves them from the clutches of the powerful. So the poor have hope and the injustice shuts its mouth. Beautiful scripture, isn't that, from the book of Job chapter 5 and verses 12 onwards. What a beautiful scripture this is. The Lord's presence, when it is with us, he will destroy all the plans of the enemy and give us deliverance. No matter what enemy plans, no matter what sort of plan the enemy has, all his plans will be turned around. All his plans will be turned around in the name of Jesus. Nobody can plot against when the presence of God is with us. It is very important to understand, Lord, if your presence do not come with us, we are not going to go forward. If your presence do not come with us, we are not going to walk through in our lives, Father. It is very important to acknowledge every step of our lives to understand the presence of God. Brothers and sisters, finally, I'm just going to finish with this. The presence of God, there are lots of other things, but you know, this is where the Lord is leading up to. You know, the Bible tells us where there is presence of God, the Prince of God will give us wisdom. The presence of God will give us wisdom. Glory to God. We may face many confusing situations where we feel we do not know what to do. But God will give us the wisdom to take over every decision. God was with David and gave him wisdom to act wisely in everything that he made. In everything. And it made enemies all to fear him. When David was taking decisions, each and every decisions, each and every decisions made Saul to fear. God is with David. He was there with David. And that's why Saul feared. The presence of God will make our enemies to fear because they see God is working in our lives. Lord Jesus told his disciples to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves because they are going as sheep among wolves. They're going among sheep among wolves. Glory to God. The Bible tells in 1 Samuel chapter 18, that now Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him in verses 12, 1 Samuel 18 and 12. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but he had departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from his presence and made him the captain over 1,000. He went out and came before people, and David behaved wisely in his ways, and the Lord was with him. That's what the Bible says. David behaved wisely in his words, and the Lord was with him. Therefore, when Saul saw that David behaved very wisely, he was afraid of him. He was literally afraid of him. I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves, said the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we are in the last days. It is important to be receptive to the presence of God, which is the Holy Spirit that is leading us, which is the Holy Spirit that is guiding us. Every time you go before the Lord, every time you stand before the Lord in your workplace, in your home, in your church, everywhere, Father, I want to feel your presence. I need your presence, Lord. Without your presence, there is nothing that I can do, because your presence gives me the peace and rest. Your presence gives me the protection. Your presence gives me the promise. Your presence gives me that strength and destroys all the plans of the enemy, every plotting of the enemy. Your presence gives me the wisdom to walk just like David did. Hallelujah. It is high time. Is the presence of God really, really with us? Every single time we go before the Lord. The Bible reminds us one last scripture, brothers and sisters, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. This one last scripture, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3. Beautiful theme, beautiful scripture. Paul speaks, chapter 4 and verse 3, he says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit to go in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God, one Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in all. Glory to God. What a blessing. May the Lord give us that unity in Spirit to discern the presence of God and to walk in His way. May the perfect God work in and through our lives. God bless you, saints. Thanks for your patient listening. Love you all in Jesus' name. A small little prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord, tonight. Thank you for all my brothers and sisters that are gathered together. Thank you for the Full Gospel Assembly and the other saints that are listening too. Father, we are your people. We are chosen before the foundation of the world. You have chosen us. You have loved us first with an everlasting love. You didn't see what sort of background we come from, who we are, but you loved us. Lord, as we walk in your Spirit, Father, make us understand that we should be receptive to your presence. Without your will, without your thoughts, without your ways, Father, there's nothing that can be done. We are helpless, Father. The human nature still tries to work in our lives. Father, we need your grace to overcome every circumstance so that your will be done in our lives. So that your will be done in each and every circumstance of our lives. Though it is, Lord, Father, contrary outside, let us always be at peace on the inside. Because you are a great God, your promises are great, your love for us is great, and we have a great inheritance in your cross. And make us to receive every single promise, Father, that you have given us through the cross. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, Father, for the church leaders, Pastor Kim and Brother Bob. Strengthen them, Father. And thank you, Lord, for all the saints that are listening and faithfully growing. Thank you for the great love that you have put in their hearts for the saints back here in India. Thank you, Father, for everything. In Jesus' almighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Thanks for your time. Thank you, Pastor King. Thank you, Brother Bob.
Disaster, let him in constancy follow the master.
Lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus.